Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We're at kpcg.fm. Live link of thetrumpet.com. Coming up on today's program, we're going to take a look at how some colleges are helping their students cope with Thanksgiving. If it's going to be stressful at their house, they have a little bit of a guidebook. I think you'll be somewhat surprised, maybe not, on what they're saying. Also, some more information about some headlines that have happened over the evening and a few other topics to get to as well. We'll do all of that and more this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. And we'd love it if you followed us on Twitter at kpcgfm. We send out some relevant tweets. We won't over-tweet you, if that's an expression. It is now. And we also would like some comments if you have anything you'd like to send our way. We appreciate getting those comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, back today. You feeling better?
I feel great.
Good. Had a little bit of a flu over the weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't enjoyable at all.
No, those never are. But it is football season, so if you're feeling well enough, you can at least lay there and stare at the screen.
I did do that.
Got to look at look at the bright side as much as you can. There was a football game last night in Mexico. Monday Night Football.
Right.
And, you know, the NFL is trying to, even though their ratings are sliding, they're still trying to extend their reach to global markets. And so they have games sometimes in the UK, and which I saw one over there, and it was sort of strange the way they presented it. And then they cut away in the third quarter to go to X Factor, I think.
What?
And I thought, well, no wonder it doesn't catch on over here. But so they tried this in Mexico, and they had an incident last night. The Texans, who lost to the Raiders, the Texans quarterback, Brock Osweiler, he had a green laser shined in his eye when he was trying to pass the football. And they caught the picture, so you can see that it's actually happening. It's hitting him right in the face. It says, while the Houston Texans and Oakland Raiders battled in Mexico City on Monday Night Football, it appears one fan was determined to make an impact from the stands. Someone shined a green laser pointer at Texans quarterback Brock Osweiler. They say, I'm still gathering information on what exactly took place. This is Osweiler talking. But all I know at this point is when we were out there on the field on offense, there were multiple times I saw a green laser coming from the stands. There were a couple of times it definitely hit me in the eye, and it was very noticeable. Then Osweiler, you know, he refused to say that the laser was the difference maker in the game, but he did say, quote, it's certainly having a laser zoomed in on your eyeball definitely affects how you play. I would think it would.
It definitely would. I actually remember 2 years ago in Detroit, against the Buffalo Bills, there was a fan in the stands trying to shine it into the eyes of the Bills kicker, and they caught him and ejected him and banned him for life.
Good.
So that's kind of what that person could expect in Mexico if he ever gets caught.
You're banned from watching more games in Mexico for the rest of your life, which will be everybody in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Not a lot to lose there. No, that's terrible. It's terrible sportsmanship, and yeah, let the guys play. Don't be shining lasers into their eyeballs. Sometimes they say a quarterback's got a laser-like arm. This fan had a laser-like laser.
And he's pretty shining. Good at aiming it, too, especially when the quarterback's moving around or something.
Yeah, that's sad to see. So they lost. The Texans lost, so maybe it'll go down in history as the laser game. Who knows? But I don't know that football will catch on in some of those other countries. They really like soccer. I think that's more of the global sport. I'm not sure what else is big in Mexico. Soccer for sure, but I'm not sure beyond that what the other sports are. Bullfighting?
Yeah, probably. Did you get a glimpse of the stadium last night to see if there were a lot of people?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of that game. I didn't even know who won. I wasn't up late enough to see, but I just knew in the second quarter it was tied. But usually when a new sport comes to a place like that, even in when they're playing in Britain, it seems like the stands are pretty full, at least because it's a foreign spectacle that people are saying, well, I won't get too many chances to take a look at this. But even like here in Oklahoma City, when we recently got a couple new soccer teams, I'm pretty sure most people here didn't care for soccer too much, but they packed the stands there too.
Yeah, soccer is really taking off.
Yeah, if it's a sport, you know, it's a chance to get away and relieve some stress, and it doesn't really matter what sport it is a lot of the time.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd like to see bullfighting or not. There was recently, I think, a guy got killed. Mm-hmm. That's the danger of it. You can get killed.
Yeah, actually, I saw some pretty gory pictures of a guy getting tossed off a bull and then gored. I guess that was an accidental pun there, but he got speared by the horn of the bull.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the danger. If you're afraid of seeing something like that, then you probably don't want to go.
Right. And then they usually end up killing the bull, don't they? They stick a bunch of stuff, like I don't know what it is. It seems like if they miss them, they jam them with some kind of a stick or something.
Oh.
I don't know. My bullfighting expertise comes down to like a couple of commercials and a movie once. So I literally know nothing. I've offended all the bullfighters out there.
I actually went to one of those type of events years ago when I was probably maybe just 13. It was at that Lazy E Arena out there, I guess near Guthrie kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had was they had calf roping, so the guy would be on a horse chasing down this calf, and then he'd rope all four legs at once, or at least two legs, and then he'd get off the horse, tackle the calf, and then just tie it up, which was hilarious. I love that. And then they had a few other pretty crazy events, and I have to say it was really entertaining, especially in that type of environment where pretty much there's a bunch of hay bales everywhere, and I mean, it's like you're walking in the main concourse past all these horse stalls. So it's like you're in the middle of a big barn watching this event.
Yeah. I think, I don't know much about the rodeo, but the bull, you know, the bull riding, that's so dangerous. Those guys get hurt, you know, and I don't know how much you get paid to be one of the clowns that like, you know, distracts the bull and then you got to dive into your safe zone. But you'd have to be on your toes for that job. You couldn't come in and be like, I'm just not feeling it today, guys. You shouldn't get killed.
What a nerve-wracking job.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would hate to do that.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to talk to one of those guys. I've never met anybody that does anything like that. So it'd be interesting to get their perspective on the life of a rodeo clown.
Yeah, and it is a really important job, too, because sometimes when you see the rider get thrown off, the bull will purposely just be stomping the guy because he's mad that the guy even had the gall to hop on his back.
Yeah.
And so this guy is getting crushed over here until he sees the clown, and then he starts chasing the clown. So basically, the clowns are a lot of the time saving the riders' lives.
Humans are afraid of clowns, and bulls are angry at them.
Clowns are just not loved.
Nobody likes the clowns.
It's pretty funny that the McDonald's mascot is a clown, and that has conspicuously disappeared recently.
Well, it's
You'll
creepy.
Never see that again, probably.
He's creepy.
Yeah.
There, you know, Quail Springs Mall here in the local area, for those that are familiar, there's a children's play area, and they used to have, they kind of changed it around a little bit over the years, but there used to be supposed to be the statue of like a boy or something. It almost looked like a clown, but not quite. And, you know, it was there and it had a sign that like gave the rules for the play area. And it was this creepiest looking thing I've ever seen. I would take my kids there occasionally, but I was like, I don't know if I want to go in there. That creepy statue's looking at me the whole time. They got rid of that one too. So somebody finally realized like that thing is scaring people. We need to get rid of the scary statue.
Yeah, that's probably true. And a lot of, actually that mall used to have a really great play area for kids. I think they might have taken it out in the last few years because I haven't seen. They used to have like all these different rubber type playhouses that you could crawl through and things. Maybe it became a hive for germs. I don't really know, but it seems like it disappeared.
Yeah, well, I think they got rid. Maybe they got rid of one, and then they have another one. I think that's still there.
Yeah,
and
of course, it looks like it's less extensive than the more in depth one they used to have.
Well, you know, and they always put it right next to like some stores that are a little bit questionable. So it's like, so the kids are going to be playing here, looking at that. That may not be the best idea.
Looking at that goth store. Yeah. Right.
There's a few things that are maybe a little questionable about that. Really bad story, sad story yesterday coming out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. This school bus crash, this horrific crash. The driver's been arrested. You probably saw this on the news. A bus carrying elementary students home from school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, crashed on Monday afternoon, killing. I've seen various reports. Some say five, some say six. There's a few children still, I guess, kind of in a bad spot as far as whether they'll survive. And it sent nearly two dozen to the hospital. The driver identified as Jonathan Walker. I've never heard that name before. He's a 24-year-old fella, was taken into custody. He's facing five counts of vehicular homicide, reckless endangerment, reckless driving charges. Of course, the police chief said this is an absolute nightmare for our community, as you can imagine. Chattanooga police said earlier on Twitter the driver was being questioned and was cooperating. Speed appeared to have contributed to the crash. The students were very young, kindergarten through fifth grade, so about 5 to 10. And there's still three in the hospital that could go either way as far as whether they will survive. This is what's really just strange about the whole thing, and I'm sure more will come out about it. The crash was so severe that the yellow school bus was wrapped around a tree, mangled, and nearly severed in two. Like, how fast was that guy going? Or what happened? Oh. I mean, we've talked even recently about, I've had a couple stories about going in the ditch when I was a kid on the bus. But we were always going, you know, the normal speed, and it wasn't a big deal. It was just, you know, kept us from, you know, first period. But here, this vehicle is obliterated, and I just have to wonder, how fast was this guy going? It'll be interesting to see what the details are because, you know, I can understand that occasionally you'd have a little bit of a crash, and it's always a bad thing, but this vehicle just decimated and destroyed and killed some of these kids. What would cause something like that?
Yeah, he must have been in a serious rush, maybe had something to do after he was done working, but also, I don't think a lot of buses even have seatbelts, or at least they don't always require the kids to wear them. So if a bus hits a tree that hard, I mean, I could just imagine that the kids would go flying through the air, and hopefully the driver at least had his seatbelt on. That's probably the only reason he survived.
When I rode a school bus, we didn't have seatbelts, and I don't know if that's changed, but it was, you know, depending, I guess, on the day and the kids, it could be a little rowdy. I remember one kid he thought it was funny when we were in kindergarten to crawl under the seats. And if you've ever seen the floor of a school bus, that's a slime pit.
That's gross.
So you'd be sitting there in your seat, and all of a sudden this kid, he pops out underneath, he looks at you, and he waves, and he just keeps going, crawling all the way up and down the bus. And it's in the winter, too, so you got like the grime and the junk on the bottom. And he would do it. He'd go crawl all the way up to the front and all the way to the back. I can't imagine what his clothes looked like when he got home. But yeah, doing things like that, anytime you'd have any sort of a wreck, I mean, you're in a very volatile spot.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just surprised at the extent of the damage to this vehicle. And I don't know. It didn't appear like it was on the interstate, although I don't know all the details. It seemed like it was in an area where you wouldn't be going as fast, but don't totally know. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. The guy's got to feel horrible. Man, he's got to feel bad.
Yeah, that is a really sobering job when you have the lives of, who knows, maybe 30 kids on the line, and you have to be diligent at all times. And really, even if personally, when he's driving his own car, he's not too careful with the rules of the road, he has to be whenever he has that many people in there with him.
Yeah, and those vehicles are they're high profile, and you can't drive it like you drive your car. So,
oh yeah,
I remember actually. We had a new bus driver. It was a lady, and she had just started, and you know those are manual transmissions, and she was always grinding the gears when she first started. And there's always a couple of guys in there that fancied themselves to be the perfect truck driver, I guess, or whatever, and they would always give her a hard time. And she drove her crazy because she, you know, go to shift and you hear like the. And they'd be shaking their head looking at it. We're all in grade school. Like, who's driving cars, right? But they still thought they knew better, so they
these just, young kids making fun of her.
Just shake the head. grinding the gears. She got it down. Just took a little while. If you've thought to yourself, I wish I could pay more for Starbucks, you're in luck.
Yes.
Could I unload this money? Would someone take my money? Starbucks hikes prices for some beverages and bakery goods. The company told CNBC that on November the 10th, so you better hurry up. Wait a minute, it's too late, isn't it? We're past that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're past it. Sorry. So I was in the wrong month. That select cold beverages and bakery items saw a price increase of between 10 cents and 30 cents. I love how they didn't tell us it was happening. They told us that it did. Oh, by the way.
I bet you it's probably still more expensive now, though, even though it went up on that specific day.
Yeah, well,
just,
yeah.
Just because, you know, it's not like it pops up for a day and goes back down. So we're probably still going to be paying.
Yeah, I think it's here to stay.
Oh man.
But it depends. It's between 10 and 30 cents. So I guess it depends on what store you go to. They say we expect the average customer ticket to increase by about 0.5% as a result of these beverage adjustments. Approximately 90% of beverages have not changed price. Of course, they say that because they raised those earlier in the year. So, they say, for example, hot brewed coffee, espresso, tea, or prepared items were not impacted. But this isn't the first price hike of the year. The company bumped the cost of its beverages by as much as 30 cents back in July. And then they Starbucks said we continually evaluate pricing on a product-by-product and market-by-market basis in our stores in order to balance our business needs, a.k.a. make lots of more money. While continuing to provide value. You have never provided value. Let's quit this cruel game.
Value, isn't that quality at a low price?
I would think so. I would think so. Value to our loyal customers, they say. Well, it's getting to the point where it's almost undoable. You know, you're like, really? $5 for a beverage?
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny show years ago. It had some rough spots, but it had some funny parts too. And they were showing old fake news footage from like 30 years ago. And the reporter, he's like, "You'll never guess what this new beverage is. It's called a cappuccino. And wait till you see what it costs."
Cappuccino.
Obviously the cappuccino. But it was just funny for them to be poking fun at like what we're doing now. You know, when it was first coming on the scene. I think he said something like, "You like a little coffee in your milk? It's called a cappuccino."
It would have been nice. Yeah, it would have been nice if they would have told us ahead of time that the price increase was coming. And now people who have been going there the last, 12 days are saying, wow, that's why my ticket went up.
That's what happened. Yeah, people get on Twitter and they're like, "Hey, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I just paid more than I'm used to." Mm-hmm. And I think there's enough pressure where they're like, we meant to tell you. We did increase those prices.
They should know they'll never be able to get away with that. There's too many habitual coffee drinkers who probably get the same thing just about every day.
Yeah, they'll catch you. They know what you're charging. So, I don't know. They keep pushing it, but I think eventually you push people out of the market. I mean, even if you like it. I mean, how often can you afford reasonably to go do something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It gets tough. That's a lot. I mean, if somebody's going every day and they're paying an extra 30 cents, you know, it's another couple bucks a week. Yeah, maybe it doesn't seem like that much right off the bat, but then you start doing the math on it.
Yeah.
It adds up in a hurry. So,
definitely.
Value. Okay.
Yeah, especially when there's times where you get your paycheck and you want to spend an extremely low amount because you have certain things to save up for or to pay off, and that extra couple dollars can actually go a long way toward taking away that small budget that you had.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and don't watch them when they make it, because you're like, that's all they're putting in there? Because like if you get an ice drink, they fill the thing up like half full and the rest of it's ice.
I wonder if you can ask for no ice.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Well, you can certainly ask for light ice for sure.
Uh-huh.
My wife, she's a hawk for that. Light ice. It's just they're charging you for ice, which is
right.
True. It's like you're paying half a cup of ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how big you make the cup. I mean, if you're just going to dump ice in there to, you know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're all suckers for it at some point, I guess, or else they wouldn't be able to keep doing it.
That's true.
That big earthquake last week in New Zealand, still pretty amazing. There's some really cool drone video of it you can find online, different places. Drone video captures impact of New Zealand earthquake on the Kekerengu Fault. I hope I said that right or close enough. So that fault line there, really some amazing footage. it shows how it split apart, like the earth just opened up. And then there's a really great picture of it on Mashable's website as well. Gives you a little more perspective because there's a man standing right there. And you can see how the earth just opened up. I was just thinking, what would it be like to have been there when the earth just opens up? I mean, just something we don't see very often.
That would be the worst way to die. I'm sorry to be so morbid, but you're talking about a man standing right next to it. What if you were standing right there when the thing opened?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrifying. Yeah, that's not a good situation, I'm sure.
Not a good way to go. They had a show one time. I don't know if they still have it on, but it was sort of interesting. It was like 1,001 ways to die or something like that. And they went through like historical accounts of just bizarre deaths. And they always tried to build it up like the person had it coming so you didn't feel so bad. You know, they'd reenact it, and the person was always like mean to everybody. And so you kind of at the end were like, well. And I guess they had to do that so you didn't feel so bad about it. But there are some. I saw just a couple of episodes, and that was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, people die in some really bizarre ways.
Yeah, and those were all accidental deaths, right? Not people killing each other.
No, yeah. just accidental stuff. I remember one, the story where this lady, she was walking in a city, and she had high heels on, and they were hurting her feet or something, so she took them off, and she ended up standing in like a puddle because it was raining. And she pressed like the crosswalk button, and there was like an electrical short circuit or something, and it electrocuted her right on the spot. But they made it out like she was up to no good, and so
that's probably the only way people could handle watching it is if the person's a bad person every single time.
Yeah,
I think I remember one where the guy stuck his head out the window and had his head taken clean off by a mailbox.
Oh no!
Oh, it's terrible.
Wow. Yeah.
That must have been a fast-moving vehicle.
Sure.
And a very sturdy mailbox, too.
Bizarre.
Ugh.
Some bizarre ways that it happens to people. You know what I'm always glad about? I'm glad that we don't know how we'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you knew how, first of all, that would just be bad knowledge to carry around. But if you knew, let's say you were going to get hit by a train. That's how you were going to die. And you didn't know when, you just knew that you're going to die by being hit by a train. Your whole life, you'd be horrified. You'd avoid trains. You know, I think about this when you see somebody that's like 97 and they die in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what if they knew that they would die in a car accident, they just didn't know when? Their whole life they'd be like, oh, but they're 90. No, they made it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm always glad that we don't have that little bit of info.
That's right. Yeah, actually, that reminds me of a scene from a movie that I saw not too long ago. And the guy actually did have this vision of the way he was going to die. And I think it was by flaming arrows from the sky.
So, of course.
Yeah, so every time he was in battle, he would just like, he'd see these flaming arrows coming, and he would just lift up his arms and look up to the sky and wait for it to happen, and the arrows would land all around him every time. And so he's like, when is it going to happen? I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, you'd think about it a lot, and you'd always be looking for situations, and it's good we don't know those things.
Right.
You're going to love this one, Grant. This is going to be fun for you. This is from Heat Street. They're a little bit snarky, but interesting stories. Liberal parents forcing children to write letters to Trump, begging him to be kind. So this will be important. They say since Donald Trump's election, Democrats have struggled with how to tell their children that because Hillary Clinton lost, and this is Heat Street. Again, it's a little snarky, but it says they're trying to tell their children or explain to their children that Hillary Clinton lost. Their tiny worlds will crumble around them like the vegan, fair trade, gluten-free crackers in their luxurious lunchboxes.
Fair trade, gluten-free.
might be a little snarky there on Heat Street's part, but okay. Most major news organizations have provided helpful guides on how to talk to your kids about Trump. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics warned that children who didn't get Trump therapy might suffer long-term emotional distress. Interesting. Some liberal parents, though, have come up with a way to help their kids work out their political angst. I don't think kids have political angst, but maybe they do. While also attempting to guilt the president-elect, forcing their kids to write hashtag kids letters to Trump. The effort, organized through a Facebook group with 12,000 members, asked parents of small children to use their kids' innocent crayon drawings and adorably misspelled missives to persuade Donald Trump to, quote, be nice, and to educate the president-elect about the importance of being kind to other people, even if they're different than you are. So that's what we need. We need the president to be instructed by the children and their crayon drawings.
Do you realize how soft these kids are going to be as they grow up? When they're getting bullied at school, they consider writing a letter and sticking it in the bully's locker. How is that going to work? I mean, that's you have to toughen up at some point. And the only reason a kid would have political angst is if he saw his own parents running around the house screaming because Trump won. Otherwise, he'd have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it is the importance of being kind to other people, even if they're different than you are. Yeah, that is really important. Okay, but those that are out there protesting or having the temper tantrums, are they following that? Are they being kind to people that are different than them? Of course not. And that's what I think sort of irritates some people, is that they're presenting it as if they're full of love and kindness and goodness while they're doing the exact thing they're accusing the other side of doing, which is, if you think differently than me, then you're bad and you're wrong.
Right.
The hypocrisy, that's the issue, I think.
Yeah, it is. I actually saw some extremely toxic messages on Twitter over the weekend. I was just looking up some things about the president-elect, and some people had some tallies of the things he's tweeted about recently, and it's like rebukes of the New York Times 6 times. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah, Hamilton, demanding that the Hamilton cast apologize for lecturing the vice president-elect.
And by the way, the Hamilton cast has never voted. Apparently none of them have voted.
Then they really shouldn't be talking
right.
about it. Yeah, and then it says, speaking out against hate crimes committed in his name, 0 times tweeted about. So basically, that is a myth. We've already talked about that, the fact that all these people are lying about being attacked by Trump supporters. Meanwhile, you don't need to lie about the other side because they're riding in the street and everyone can see it. There are people who are being very violent, and it seems like they're on the radical left side and they're attacking Trump supporters. And it's on video. There's no claim about it. It's on video. Why are they being so hypocritical about it? Why are they lecturing the conservatives to be kind when that's the way they're treating people?
Yeah. It's the hypocrisy. I think that's what bothers people. Speaking of the protests, there was a lot there in Portland. We got a nice comment. It was actually sent into the Trumpet Daily program, but
right.
They appreciated our election night coverage. So somebody in Portland appreciated it. Thank you. Thanks
yeah.
for listening.
Well, it was 5 straight hours, so
it was.
People who never had heard us before probably couldn't help it that night.
It was riveting for us anyway. No, I think it was a lot of fun, and appreciate people listening into that. It was exciting. It was an exciting night. Thanksgiving is coming up, and of course, William and Mary College is offering a Thanksgiving toolkit for sensitive students. You know, we're all terrified of Thanksgiving. It's a horrifying day, of course. A kid, I'm in jest. But some students are struggling what they're going to do. And I think a lot of this has to do with potential conversations that will come up in their homes. They don't know how to handle it. They say, nervous about talking politics over Thanksgiving dinner? At the College of William and Mary, there's training for that. So you can take a little course. The so-called Thanksgiving toolkit, which I thought should just be like turkey in a bottle opener, but apparently it's different. Sponsored by the English department and held Monday night, sorry you missed it, offers students strategies to cope with family members with political viewpoints that make you feel vulnerable and distressed. So you can just imagine how it might be in some homes. On college campuses, students may be able to avoid critical thinking, debate, or exposure to different political viewpoints altogether, they say. But the tragic reality is that parents' homes may not have designated safe spaces. Send them to their rooms. Go back to your old room. So William and Mary has pulled together a plan for students encountering actual dissent for the first time in their lives.
It's probably true.
Many of these youths are apparently wondering, how do you engage with people you love yet disagree with? How do you take care of yourself in the meantime? Fear not, they say. At Monday night's event, students can learn strategies for discussing privilege, as well as how to show solidarity with those who are made especially vulnerable by the election results, including undocumented immigrants, people of color, queer and trans people, and people with disabilities. That would be some house. get all those groups in there.
What a conglomeration of different yeah. people.
The faculty hosting this event will also teach students about organizations and resources they can pass on to less enlightened family members. Oh, I'm sure they're going to appreciate that. I've got something that'll help you out. This will enlighten you. And so here are some of the things that they're talking about that they could bring up at Thanksgiving dinner. Cisgender privilege. How police reinforce a system of oppression. Please. How Thanksgiving is an imperialist holiday. Misogyny in advertising. And Trump. So those are some of the hot topics that will be brought up around, apparently, some dinner tables this Thanksgiving.
That is just not a wise course to teach. If you want to have peace at Thanksgiving, maintain a straight face, be apolitical, and just change the subject from time to time. You would never want to bring up those things unless you want your whole family to scorn you and laugh at you.
Right, and I think, to me, this sounds like they're trying to be instigators. Like you're gonna they know somebody at dinner doesn't have a similar viewpoint, so they're gonna say, "Well, let's talk about," and then bring up a subject that's really gonna irritate people. And because I think that's a lot of what we see coming out of some of the campuses, even like the protests, it's designed to agitate, to stir up problems. They're not trying to find peace or a common ground. They want to come and enlighten you about cisgender privilege. I need a thesaurus. I don't even know what some of this is, but it sounds bad.
And it also sounds like the last thing you'd want to bring up if you want any sort of peace. The people teaching that must know that that's not going to cause any peace, but they want to stir up some sort of debate or discussion, which is really just going to lead to people yelling at each other. Anytime you look at on a college campus, have those been peaceful places recently where these enlightened so-called students are trying to educate everyone else who doesn't agree with them? No, it just turns into a shouting match. It turns into really a lot of physical altercations. I'm pretty sure the educators know that's what's going to happen if these poor kids bring these things up during Thanksgiving.
You know what would have been kind of interesting to see? If you really wanted to cause a little brouhaha, would have been to have gone to this meeting and as they're talking about all this stuff, raise your hand and say, what about like bringing up all the great ways God's blessed America? You would have been kicked out of there. You would have been tarred and feathered, run out of town on a rail. Old-timey punishments.
That's right. It just shows you that maybe they shouldn't even attend Thanksgiving. They think it's some sort of imperialist white holiday.
Yeah.
Then
don't go.
Don't go. I mean, that's what they're even saying. Why don't we bring up the fact that Thanksgiving has a horrible history? Okay, don't attend. Save your entire family all of this, you know, basically outrageous discussion by just not going. That's the way you could avoid the conflict.
I don't even think they really know anything about Thanksgiving. I mean, it was really made an official, you know, holiday, I guess you'd call it that, by President Lincoln in the middle of the Civil War, and it was a day of fasting to try to bring the nation together, to appeal to God, and to be thankful for what we had, but to try to save the Union. I don't know how that's imperialistic.
Right. And even if they're thinking back to right when the ships crossed the Atlantic and got here, did they not have dinner with the Indians? Did they not dwell together peacefully on that day? And yet it's about imperialism somehow.
Do you think on that, you know, way back then they were talking about cisgender privilege at dinner?
No.
Have any of you ever thought about misogyny in advertising? Have not. I haven't considered it.
It's just
been plowing
absurd.
The field.
Well, they're wasting their entire days talking about this. I saw a thing on Fox News last night. This kid who goes to Hampshire College in Massachusetts, he was part of a group that got the American flag taken down, and then I guess some of the kids actually burned all of the American flags that were taken down. And the host of the show was asking him, well, why would you do something like this? And he said, well, you know, the flag represents the police and the military, both of which force their way on other people and cause oppression. And I don't really believe that where I live is just, because we have taken this land from Native peoples. And the host basically said, well, you're paying $62,000 a year. What do you think the median family income is? Clearly, you have a lot of so-called privilege to even be able to attend this university, to be able to afford a $62,000 a year tuition. And maybe you should step back and think about how blessed you are. That's exactly what Thanksgiving is for anyway.
Well, right. I mean, if their big issue, like let's say in some cases, is that they feel that there is this system of oppression or there's certain privilege, drop out of college, take the money that you were paying, and put somebody that's less, blessed, I guess you'd say,
right,
than you. Let them go to school in your place.
Right. That's what the host said. Yeah. Well, why are you accepting this $62,000 of blood money, as you think it is? If that's really what it is, that you have stolen your land, if you really think that your parents have gotten wealthy by taking land from other people, from Native peoples, then why not give that money away or refuse to accept it as part of your tuition to be at this very nice college?
Right. And that's where the breakdown comes. It's easy to protest and complain, but everyone's getting their meals and everyone's living a pretty good life and complaining about it. So
there's no better country on earth to this day. And that was another thing that the host brought up. Where else would you rather be charged for a crime, or where else would you rather be that is more safe than here as well, because of the military, actually?
Yeah.
Because of the police.
There are some really good programs on the Trumpet.com, some Key of David programs from some years back on the topic of Thanksgiving. Really worth going back and watching those programs, and we'll try to play those for you here on the radio station, KPCG.FM, as well, online, on Thanksgiving. And so those are always good to remember and to get a little perspective. Get a little perspective from years gone by and some important history. Key of David program is coming up here on KPCG in a little bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. Talked about some of the headlines, of course, what's going on in Germany. They are getting stronger and stronger, especially as they see the U.S., as they feel it, becoming more isolationist. And then also we talked about parenting and how a lot of parents are afraid to tell their children what to do. Imagine that, telling somebody what to do. Who knows what would happen? You know what happens if you don't properly tell your children what to do and then expect they do it? You go to William and Mary, I guess, and you have a Thanksgiving toolkit dinner meeting.
You go to Hampshire College and you burn the American flag. Those are the types of kids that are being produced by parents who have never told them no their entire lives, you know, probably never spanked them or disciplined them much at all.
Yeah. So it's a really important point that he brings out in that. Make sure you listen for that Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And if you're a parent like myself, a lot of good information there that can help you out. This is interesting. This happened last week. Marilyn Monroe, she wore that dress for John F. Kennedy's birthday. She sang to him, famous dress. They auctioned that off for $4.8 million. Ripley's, believe it or not, purchased the dress. And I was thinking the only thing that's, you know, like, would fit in as far as Ripley's Believe It or Not would be, can you believe how much we paid for this dress? That would be the thing. Like, yeah. Why are we looking at this dress? Can you believe how much we paid for this?
Yeah, it's a museum full of oddities and weird things, and there's a dress there. There's nothing too weird about a dress of and by itself.
They paid too much. They got had. They were had. I did see a little story on that. They said that, of course, it was very tight, a little too tight. She couldn't actually put it on. It had to be sewn onto her. So if you have to have your outfit sewn onto you, you're probably a little tight.
Yeah.
You need to maybe get a size bigger. Wear a sweater.
Adhere to some type of dress code, maybe.
some type of dress code. So $4.8 million. So again, who bid 4.7? Just didn't quite get it. I have to wonder who that guy is. I also saw that Mickey Mantle had a baseball card that sold recently for over $1 million. He joined the $1 million baseball card club.
Wow. He's from Oklahoma, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I think the only other one that's ever done that is the famous Honus Wagner.
Yeah, because that's such a rare card.
Yeah.
He was a good player, but I'm sure the biggest reason is that there's only a few in existence today,
right.
A few cards.
Yeah, he didn't like tobacco, and they were tobacco cards, and mm-hmm. so he had it taken out. And because it's so rare, it was worth so much money. That's one of those things where it's cool, but at the end of the day, a little picture of a guy.
Just like that license plate in that, what is that, United Arab Emirates? Or that guy paid all that money for that one number license plate?
Yeah, I forget how much. I think it was close to.
Wasn't it like $9 million or something?
It was a lot, yeah. It's interesting when you got a lot of money. I mean, people spend it on a lot of different things. They should just go spend their money at Starbucks. Quit wasting all your time with the baseball cards. Here's an interesting one. This kind of ties into the college stuff. I meant to get to this yesterday and ran out of time, but pretty interesting. It's from the New York Post, and it's by George Will, who has some good write-ups from time to time. And he says, college kids are proving Trump's point. He says, many undergraduates, their fawn-like eyes wide with astonishment, are wondering, why didn't the dean of students prevent the election from disrupting the serenity to which my school has taught me that I am entitled? He says, campuses create, quote, safe spaces where students can shelter from discombobulating thoughts and receive spiritual balm for the trauma of microaggressions. Yet the presidential election came without trigger warnings. So he's hitting on all the words that are out there. And, you know, it is interesting to look at. And I mean, there's a certain humor to it, I guess. But why it's so serious is because this is the next generation of leaders. And the next generation of Americans, what are they being taught at these schools? You know, and that's the serious side of it, and I think why it's worth talking about. I mean, there's so much emphasis put on all of this type of nonsense. People aren't able to handle the real world.
That's right. Yeah, and also, if you look at some of these protests or these riots, look at the way just the people look. They have all these different colors, hair, piercings everywhere. They're wearing, I don't know, the strangest type of clothing. I mean, they have weird thoughts in their heads, and they look like no one an employer would ever want to hire, just kind of like a dirt ball. And they think that they can go out in the real world and have any sort of success.
Well, and expect it, like, immediately. And
they demand it as if it's their right.
Right. And that's the funny thing. On one hand, crying about privilege and then being like, well, but give me what you owe me. Well, that is privilege. I always find it funny when people are trying to be unique. You know, I'm my own person. I don't conform. I'm like, you look like all the other people that say that exact same thing. You know, maybe you've got a little different shade of green in your hair, but I mean, it's all kind of the same deal.
Right.
The more people cry about being individuals, the more the same they are. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to me. This George Will, he continues. He says, the morning after the election, normal people rose, some elated, some despondent, and they went off to actual work. But at Yale, the incubator of late adolescent infants, he says a professor responded to, quote, heartfelt notes from students in shock by making that day's exam optional. And we had talked about that the day after. He got all these letters, or emails, I guess. I don't think they're writing letters, saying they were, you know, they just couldn't cope. And he said, well, you know, okay, don't take the test. And I called that one right away as ridiculous. I'm like, they're just playing you because they know you're going to buy into it, you know. And I would imagine most of them didn't care one way or the other. It's just a chance to skip the exam.
Yeah, it just shows how fragile the kids are. But also, they're being manipulative in a way. I think half fragile, half manipulative.
Yeah.
A lot of them are taking advantage of the fragile ones.
He says, as bias response teams fanned out across campuses, an incident report was filed about a University of Northern Colorado student who wrote Free Speech Matters on one of 680 Language Matters posters that cautioned against politically incorrect speech. Catholic DePaul University denounced it as bigotry, a poster that proclaimed unborn lives matter. So you could write whatever you want, matters, including free speech matters, but somebody wrote unborn lives matter, and that was considered to be bigotry. A few examples here. Bodine College provided counseling to students traumatized by the Cultural Appropriation Committee by a sombrero and tequila party Oberlin College students said they were suffering breakdowns because schoolwork was interfering with their political activism. Don't bother us with that pesky schoolwork here at college. We're activists now.
And they have other priorities.
Sombrero and tequila party. That
racist.
Can't happen. Yeah, it's racist. Sounds fun.
It does. Sounds awesome.
Cal State. I would wear a sombrero. I just can't pull it off. Cal State University, Los Angeles, established healing spaces for students to cope with the pain caused by a political speech delivered 3 months earlier. It's 3 months ago. I just need healing. Indiana University experienced social media panic because a priest in a white robe with a rope-like belt and rosary beads was identified as someone in a KKK outfit holding a whip. They misunderstood the outfit, I guess.
That's terrible.
A doctoral dissertation at the University of California, Santa Barbara, uses feminist methodologies to understand how Girl Scout cookie sales reproduce hegemonic gender roles. And they make you fat. The journal Geohumanities explores how pumpkins reveal racial and class coding of rural versus urban places. I don't even know what that means. Another journal's article analyzes, quote, the relationships among gender, science, and glaciers. A Vassar lecture theorizes oscillating relations between disciplinary, preemptive, and increasingly prehensive forms of power that shape human and non-human materialities in Palestine.
Too many words.
Too many words. You get an F. Relationships among gender, science, and glaciers?
Huh.
I would actually kind of like to read that paper. What's that about?
Please explain.
Don't, and the polar bears are going to be offended. What about us? Gender, science, and glaciers. Wow, zeronies. An American Council of Trustees and Alumni study. No U.S. history question. How college history departments leave the United States out of the major based on requirements and course offerings at 75 leading colleges and universities found that, quote, the overwhelming majority of America's most prestigious institutions do not require even the students who major in history to take a single course on United States history or government. So the same people that are protesting the way the government works are not required to take any courses on how the government works.
And thus they have no idea how the government works.
In a lot of cases.
And they know nothing about their own history, therefore somehow they think it's been oppressive.
Right. They hear the sound bites and then they know that's what you're supposed to think, so they go with that and have not actually studied into it at all. You're a history major and you didn't have any U.S. history. How is that even possible? At some schools that require history majors to take at least one U.S. history course, the requirement can be fulfilled with courses like these. Mad Men and Mad Women at Middlebury College. Hip-Hop, Politics, and Youth Culture in America, University of Connecticut. And Jews in American Entertainment, University of Texas. Constitutional history is an afterthought. So here you have this whole next generation of the educated, I guess, coming out, and they have opinions and they have thoughts and ideas about the way the U.S. should be governed, and yet they have no understanding on how the government actually works. But they could tell you a little bit about hip-hop, politics, and youth culture.
So they have a very shallow understanding of the important things, and they're taught that they can throw tantrums anytime they feel like it's necessary. And it's also not too surprising. I also saw an article, I think it was titled The Cult of Clinton, and it just kind of talks about how so many people on the left consider Hillary Clinton like Athena, like a god, who shouldn't even be critiqued or criticized for 1 second. And so, yeah, no wonder these kids are so shocked when she loses, because they're convinced that no one should ever oppose her. And if they do, they're scum of the earth. They hate their god, the person they worship. That just kind of shows you how brainwashed the left has become. The celebrities are pushing it too. And the kids are just being brainwashed at their colleges to follow along with that.
Yeah, that's right. I saw a headline yesterday that really, it's not surprising, but people should really think about it a little bit. And it said something to the effect of half of the women voters voted for Trump. Like, mm-hmm. how could this happen? The assumption being, well, if you're a woman, you would automatically vote for Hillary Clinton. But isn't that the same thing as, say, all men voting for a man, or all white people voting for a white person, or all black people voting for a black person? I mean, they try to attack, the liberal media tries to attack anything that they see as favoritism or, you know, well, it's racist. And yet they're just dumbfounded that all women wouldn't automatically vote for Hillary Clinton. Why? Just because she's a woman? That flies completely in the face of what they claim to, believe, which is equality.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's nothing equal about that. And I just thought the hypocrisy was just really on display.
Yeah, it just sounds like the media is looking for reasons to really put a lot of blame on different groups of people. Not all white men voted for Donald Trump, so clearly they don't care about that. They believe that Hillary Clinton was the better candidate, and they're only going to criticize the people who didn't vote for her, and not the other way around. It's identity politics, but only if you're on the left, only if you support the left ideal. I mean, you know, if you're a woman, you should support the female candidate only if she is a Democrat, by the way.
Right.
Or if you're black, you should support a black candidate, but only if that black candidate happens to be a Democrat as well.
That's true, because obviously Sarah Palin, you know, was the VP candidate, yeah. And she was just ridiculed and mocked and scorned on and on and on. And there have been some really, I thought, some black candidates on the Republican side over the years that have had some really good points. I don't know everything they thought, but I thought, wow, those are really good points. Those are really mm-hmm. interesting things that I would think people would consider, but they were immediately shut down because they just weren't on the right side. So it really comes down to the left side. it really comes down to the political ideology. And they'll throw race in or sexism in or whatever to try to get their way. But at the end of the day, they don't care about any of that. It's about staying in power.
Right. Yeah. It's just they don't ever look inward and see, how did we fail as the media? How did we fail as this political party? They just throw out all these names for anyone who didn't agree with them. Do you think that's going to sway anyone to your side when you know, people who have been beat over the head being called a racist the last 8 years are still going to be called a racist this year somehow, even though both candidates were white? Or they're going to be called a woman hater this time around because this candidate happened to be a woman? I mean, it just shows you how shallow the left has become, especially. But really, on both sides, you didn't hear a ton about policies. And really, if the Democrats wanted to get more voters, they should have put forward some ways to fix the problems. Instead, Hillary Clinton said, "I'm going to be like Mr. Obama's third term." Well, that didn't work very well, and she's going to keep doing the exact same thing. That's not a very inspiring message. Doesn't really matter if women would like to see a female president for the first time ever. If she's going to just continue the wrong ideas, then she's not the right person for the job.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. And even looking at these some of these ridiculous courses at these colleges, and some of them are pretty prominent schools, you know, it's the next generation, and they're trying to indoctrinate them into just nonsense, to just become part of the political machine and support it. But the thing is, there are a lot of people that don't attend these schools, that aren't privileged enough to go there and complain about privilege because they can't afford it.
The privileged are the ones complaining about privilege.
Yeah.
I have no problem if someone can afford a $62,000 a year tuition. That's has nothing to do with me. I'm actually happy that they can. But why are they the ones complaining about privilege when they're in that blessed position in life?
Yeah. And instead of protesting it, it'd be better to, if you do perceive something, maybe think about a solution. And they would probably say, well, protesting is the solution, but I've never seen that solve anything. I mean, you can protest hunger. I've never seen anybody eat because of it. you know, protest being old. I'm sick of being old, you know, and then all of a sudden you're young again. But there are a lot of people that don't attend these schools, that don't buy into some of these courses and the way of thinking. And I think that was apparent in this election. They thought that everybody thought like they did. Everybody thought like the media. Everybody thought like the intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a play world, this intellectual world. It's playtime. There's enough resources where you can go around and, you know, bang the drum and then go back to your dorm. But when you got to start paying the bills and you don't have a job, or you don't have a job that's paying you enough to, you know, and you're really scraping to get by, somebody comes along that has a message, whether they can pull it off or not, but it's a message of, we're going to get, you know, money back in your pocket. People start to listen to that. And that's the thing that I think these colleges and these courses, they miss the boat on, is that all that nonsense, it's only among the privileged where you can sit there and have those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
People that are really trying to just make ends meet aren't sitting around worrying about cisgender, whatever it was called. It's irrelevant to them. And I think that's where they really miss the boat as far as their media reporting and as far as just the way they thought things would go with the election.
Yeah, it just shows you how strong that echo chamber, as they call it, is, where they only surround themselves with people of the exact same ideas. They talk about diversity constantly. How many professors do they have who are Republicans or who openly supported Mr. Trump? And how many students as well felt comfortable walking around with a Make America Great Again hat on, knowing that they wouldn't get assaulted? I mean, there was even a story over the weekend, I believe, where an electrician in New York got assaulted on the subway just for wearing that kind of a hat. Talk about intolerance. Talk about not allowing anyone with a different viewpoint anywhere near you. That's what these colleges all are. Every single professor is a liberal, and all the students are being brainwashed into the same way of thinking.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Sad to see just some of the things the younger people are learning, I guess. But those are some of the things that are going on out there. I would like to start a movement to make the Packers great again.
Exactly.
Terrible. Stop letting me down.
It's sad, but we can't just protest and cry about everything.
You're having a protest.
It doesn't always work.
Protest.
Usually doesn't.
Play better defense and score points.
Just everything.
Yeah, everything. That'll do it for us on today's edition of Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for spending some time with us. Hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.